you to take money from your tithe and put into the fundraiser luncheon. We're asking you to give your tithe like you normally do. What we're asking you is this. If you're one of those families that normally goes out to eat after church, you're going to spend between, you know, 20 to 40 to 50, depending on where you go, how many in your family, bucks. And we're going to let everybody do that here for less. So we're going to be saving you money, and you're going to be helping us. So it's a win-win. And anytime you can have a win-win, that's what we're after. So if you can help us with that, we'd appreciate it. Now, if you look at your listing sheet today, we're continuing this series about church matters. We're asking the question, does church matter? Does church matter to you? If so, how much does it matter? A lot or a little? The fact is that the church does matter, and it matters a lot. And the reason for that is because no other organization on the planet has the purpose or the mandate, we're calling it, of the church. Among all the ministries of the church today, we're going to talk about that there is only one, the Sunday school, or open small groups, that shares this mandate most fully. The Sunday school is the church organized to accomplish the great commandment, the great commission, and the great challenge. And therefore, in accomplishing the church's mandate, if accomplishing the church's mandate matters to you, then Sunday school should also matter to you. We've been using as our series text Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. I'm going to read that to you this morning, because if there is a nail I wish to drive into our remembrance, it is this one. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He has carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so last week we saw that there are some unique things about the church among all of human history. Only the church is endeavoring to execute this plan of God. Only the church is commissioned with being both good news and telling this good news. Only the church is interested in saving the soul and reconciling mankind to God. Only the church seeks good for all of society. And only the church is founded by Jesus Christ. The church is the only human institution with a divine mandate. Church matters to God. Church matters to Jesus. So church should matter to me. Church should matter to you. The mandate of the church is best and most cohesively taught in Matthew's gospel. And last week we looked at those six purposes of the church that are presented to us in three passages in the gospel of Matthew. We call them the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and then the Great Challenge. And I want today for us to look at each of these, but then to see how each of these relates directly to Sunday school. Because I want you to understand that Sunday school is critically important to the life and vitality of ours and every other church. So let's talk about first the Great Commandment. Look at the Great Commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, we said last week, is our purpose as a church of worship. The church is put together for the purpose of worshiping God. Now, I remember when I started being a pastor, the associational missionary there in Alabama told me I needed to go down with him to Montgomery, Alabama, to a meeting. And there was going to be a man from Nashville, from the what was then called the Sunday School Board. And he was going to be teaching pastors and others in the that would come about Sunday school. And I was a pastor. I didn't care anything about Sunday school. I just want folks to show up and hear me preach. But this was a nice guy. I liked him. So I went. And there a man named Harvey Pilon taught, and he said the following thing that just shocked me. He said there were six tasks of the Sunday school, and he started going through them. And the first task he mentioned of the Sunday school was worship. And I remember thinking, who worships in Sunday school? How could someone worship in Sunday school? Nobody worships in Sunday school. This man's nuts. Well, as he kept talking, I realized that I was the one that was nuts. And that in Sunday school, when, and here's the key, and I want you to get this, in a properly functioning Sunday school, and those two words are critical for everything else I'm going to talk about today. A properly functioning Sunday school. If you are a member of a properly functioning Sunday school class, you will, in that class, experience worship. The second purpose of the church we saw last week was the church has a mandate to love our neighbors as ourselves, and we said that we call that ministry or service. Well, again, in a properly functioning Sunday school class, going back to Mr. Pilon, those six purposes of a Sunday school, one of them is what he called ministering to people. Now, ministering is the Baptist word for serving. Okay? We serve. And a properly functioning Sunday school class will minister to its members. A properly functioning Sunday school class will minister. The second passage, and we're going to come back and look at all these a little more. The second passage, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Last week we said the church has a mandate to make disciples, which we said we call that evangelism. Well, the Sunday school tasks are reaching and witnessing. Two of the six tasks of a Sunday school are in this one purpose, evangelism. We have to reach them, and then when we reach them, we have to witness to them. It's not enough just to get a big bunch of folks in your room. The whole point of getting them in the room is to tell them the good news. We want to be good news and tell good news. A lot of churches in the world are trying to be good news. They have soup kitchens. They give away all kinds of stuff and hope that people will get from their receiving that God is a God of love and that they should be saved by this God of love, but they never tell them that. It's called the social gospel. We see nothing wrong with the giving of stuff, but when you give it to them, you got to tell them. We go on a mission trip. We do whatever we do it in the name of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it for you. You know, we don't walk up and say, we love you so much that we came up here from Georgia to fix this wheelchair ramp for you, little boy in a wheelchair. We didn't do it because we loved him so much. We did it because we love Jesus so much, and through us, Jesus is loving him. We want him to know about Jesus. May he forget every name of everyone who worked on that wheelchair ramp except Jesus sent them. We do it for his glory, telling the good news as well. So reaching and witnessing. The third purpose, or the fourth purpose we see there is baptizing them. So the church has a mandate to baptize them, which we understand to be fellowship. Now, no, that doesn't mean that every Sunday school class needs to have donuts, orange juice, and coffee, okay? Or even better, every Sunday school class should have a breakfast every week where people bring from home that sausage and egg and cheese casserole. Not saying that. Fellowship. What is fellowship? The Sunday school task of fellowship is supporting. And this is important. I've told you this before, and some of you don't believe me. The most important people in this church is not its pastor, not its Sunday school teachers, not its deacons. The most important people in this church are the care group leaders in every Sunday school class. If you have care group leaders who care, who support, guess what? The church will go on and grow in spite of itself. But if you don't have care group leaders who are caring, you can have the best pastor in the world, the best deacons in the world, and the best Sunday school teachers in the world, and the church won't grow. Why? Because people respond positively to ministry, to caring, to supporting. Everybody in this world of down economic times needs a pick-me-up, needs a support, needs an encouragement. That's what the Sunday school care group leader is. We'll talk more about that. The fifth purpose that we get from the Great Commission is teaching them to obey. The church has a mandate to teach them to obey. We call that discipleship. The Sunday school task is teaching. In every Sunday school class, there should be more discussion about the Scripture than the Georgia-Florida game. In every Sunday school class, there should be more discussion about the lesson, the Bible lesson that we're going to have today, than there is about other subjects of, you know, whether it's cold and Arthur has come to visit. You young folks don't get that. Whether it is so seasonably warm that now we want to hurry through Sunday school so that we can go to the lake and ski, or it's deer season and I won't be here next week because I've got an appointment with a deer stand. Okay, whatever it is, the number one thing that we discuss, the thing that most of the time in the hour of Sunday school should be allotted to, is teaching of a Bible lesson from this. And just so you know, what is the textbook of the Sunday school? This. Not the quarterly. The quarterly is an aid in your study of this. This is the textbook. The sixth purpose that we get from what we call the great conflict. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. The sixth purpose of the church is prayer. Now, if you count, you'll notice that I've added a task to the Sunday school. I told you, the man told me there were six. And in evangelism, we use two, reaching and witnessing. And I'm adding prayer, and here's why I'm adding prayer. I believe that we need to be intentional about praying. Because if we're not intentional about praying, if we don't hold it up as a purpose, as a task, we forget to pray. It's human nature. We take God for granted. Just like the longer people are married, it is human nature for the husband and the wife to take each other for granted. Human nature. We need to hold it up. Prayer is important. And so I am making prayer a task of the Sunday school. Now, some things we need to say about Sunday school. The word that came out of this year's lay renewal, the word that when the small groups met that people kept bringing to me, is the word intentional. And so I want you to hear me. This year, we are going to make Sunday school, we are going to be intentional about every Sunday school class. We want every Sunday school class to grow, and we would like for every Sunday school class to have another Sunday school class birthed out of it. Now, did I say split? No. I said birth. Here, I want you to hear me. When I got here, there was a ladies' Bible class. No longer meets. There were other Sunday school classes that no longer exist. We need to have more classes. And the reason we need more classes is because people need more choices. Some men like to go to Sunday school with other men. Now, I don't get that. I mean, I'd rather go to Sunday school with other women. I've yet to see a good-looking man in my life. I've never seen a good-looking man. But the woods is full of good-looking women. I don't understand why men would go off and, well, we're going to do this together. So some folks want to go to couples classes. Now some couples can't go to Sunday school together because they keep punching each other. He's talking to you! And so there are some people who will not go to a couples class without, you know, protective gear put in place first. And so we have the need to have men's classes and ladies' classes and couples classes, just for personal preference. Then we need more classes of ages. Everybody should be able to go to class with folks around their age if they choose to. Now hear me. We're not going to make anybody go to any class because we're Baptists. I spent all summer telling you, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. But you should have the option. And you know what's keeping us from doing this? Two things. Number one, teachers. We don't have enough teachers. We need people who are currently seated in a Sunday school class listening to the work someone else has done to get out of that class and go do work in other places. Preschool, children, youth, adults. We need teachers. Second, we need space. We don't have the rooms to have a bunch of Sunday school classes. At some point, we're going to have adult Sunday school classes in this sanctuary. At some point, we're going to have adult Sunday school classes in the fellowship hall. Why? Just because. Y'all won't meet outside in the rain. If you'd meet outside in the rain, we could put tables out there. We've got a big old yard. We could have all kinds of Sunday school outside. But in the winter and in the rain. Matter of fact, we have a children's class right now. I've been meeting outside. I guess the weather's going to drive them in. But we're going to need space. So those are problems. But more than that, we need a couple of changes in some other issues. And I want to talk about those. The first one I want to talk about, Sunday school is so important for accomplishing the church's mandate that each of us should be intentional about raising its importance. And the way we can measure the value that we individually place on Sunday school is in four words I want to talk about today. First, our attitude, our attendance, our participation, and our punctuality. So I want you to look at these four words a moment. The attitude first. We need to change our attitude about Sunday school. Too many of us think that Sunday school is a one day a week, 1 hour meeting. And so when we talk about Sunday school, we think about it as happening between 9:45 and 10:45 on Sunday, and you go and you're done. But we need to change that attitude. It is rather a 7 day a week, 24-hour-a-day commitment to be the good news and to tell the good news to those who God places in our life. We should be about getting people into our Sunday school class. Why? I want you to get this. Sunday school is the best evangelism tool I know of. Now, please, I don't mean to throw my education in your face, but I have a PhD in evangelism. I should know what all the ways are. I have studied all the ways that are known to man. And there is no other way that is more efficient in bringing a lost person to Christ than being enrolled in, and here's those two words again, a properly functioning Sunday school class. If you are enrolled in a properly functioning Sunday school class and you're lost, you have a 25% chance of being saved in 12 months. You go to a Billy Graham crusade, you're a lost person, guess what your percent chance is of getting saved? One. 25 times better. We should put more eggs in that basket if we are really interested in having people saved. And the wonderful thing about Sunday school, if somebody is saved in Sunday school, you know, comes to the church first through Sunday school, when they get saved, they will be baptized and join the church. If somebody walks the aisle in a preaching service and gets saved, they may be baptized, they may not. Odds are they never join your church. Again, goes back to that small percentage. So the answer to the question, the answer to the problem for Emerson over the years has been, how do we close the back door? Folks, it's simple. We need to change our attitude about Sunday school. We need to become intentional in making the Emerson's First Baptist Church's Sunday school the best thing we do all week, the best thing we do all month, the best thing we do all year. We need to really be interested in Sunday school. The next thing we need to talk about is your attendance. One may examine our Sunday school roles and find that many people do not attend, or if they do, they attend infrequently. And each attendance of a properly functioning Sunday school class is a vital part of our Christian experience. And so each of us need to be interested in attendance. And here, please hear me. If you only have 1 hour a week to give us, don't come to preaching, go to Sunday school. That's how important I think it is. And I want you to hear me. I study hard. I want you to hear my sermon. I come here with something to say. I think God's given me something, and I'm studied up and I'm ready. But if you only got 1 hour, go to Sunday school. That's how important I think it is. Attendance in Sunday school is critically important. And the reason is, in Sunday school, you make relationships. You make connections with people. The third word, participation. When you participate in class, You need to study the lesson. Participation is not simply attendance. Sitting in a chair, assuming the position, is not a participation. Participation means you study the lesson. You give discussion. You give prayer requests. You, as an individual, become a care group leader. Become a prayer leader. Become an outreach leader. Maybe you, as an individual, become a missionary out of your Sunday school class. We call those VIPs on the road, very important people. And you go down the hall and you take care of babies. Or you go on further down the hall and you teach in the children's Sunday school. Or you even really get, you know, brave. And you go help Andrew or Joey with youth. Or perhaps you feel led of God to go become a Sunday school teacher. And you find a couple of folks in your Sunday school class who feel led of God to go with you. And y'all become missionaries. Not to Africa. Everybody's afraid God's going to call them to Africa. God could be calling you down the hall. He could be calling you to go outside and start a class. Or come in here and start a class as a missionary to Emerson through Sunday school. The fourth word is punctual. And we really need to talk about this. Today's a Sunday. Nobody has an excuse to be late. Got an extra hour. Okay? Can we agree about that? Even my wife was up perky this morning. That's a God thing. Sunday school starts at 9:45. Not 10. Not 10:15. Not 10:30. Not 10:40. The other day I saw a family come to Sunday school at 10:40. Now, folks, I don't mean to be rude. But if you get here at 10:40, you should come in the sanctuary and not disturb anybody. Because when a family comes to Sunday school at 10:40, they're not disturbing one class. They're disturbing the preschool class that they take the little kid into. They're disturbing a children's class that they take another child into. Possibly even disturbing a youth class. Because when someone comes in at 10:40, it's a disturbance. The lesson's nearly over. Now, please, let's be honest. If you routinely got to your job 15, 30, 40 minutes late, all the time, would your boss not call you into the office and explain things to you? Here at church, we have an employee, and I promise you that if she got here 15, 30, 45 minutes late routinely, I would be explaining things to her. We need to be punctual. When you show up late, what you are saying by your action, and you would never say this verbally, but you're saying this by your actions. I don't take this seriously. And some of us need to begin to take Sunday school more seriously. We need to be more intentional about it. Now, how do you do that as a teacher? And this is important. If you teach preschoolers or children or youth, you're kind of stuck because they don't get to drive. They don't get to decide to be early or late. It's mom and dad. So I need your help. As a culture of church, we need to begin to bring positive peer pressure on those who are routinely, chronically late. Okay? Now we need to do this lovingly, but we need to go as we see them walk in. We need to let them know, hey, sorry. And ushers and greeters, I need your help. I need you to stand at these doors and don't let them go in at 10:40 to Sunday school. Usher them in here. They need to know that, hey, something's different. If we don't begin to do this, guess what's going to happen? No change will occur. We've got to become intentionally serious about our Sunday school. Intentionally serious about our attendance. Intentionally serious about our punctuality. Okay? Please help us. Because when we don't, it says we don't care. Same thing about our worship service now. We could make an announcement at 8:30 and over half of you wouldn't get it. That's a fact. We could do the same thing at 11. And here's what happens. Because people are late to Sunday school, they keep having class. And at 10:45, when Sunday school is supposed to be over, they keep going. And I'll go tell them, hey, we need you in service. Come on. And they'll look at me like, you are dampening the work of the Spirit. The Spirit is moving amongst us. But apparently He can only start acting at 10:55. I believe that if you got there at 9:45, the Holy Spirit could be acting before 10:55. We need help. We need to take it seriously. Just like when you come to church, I promise you, Joey has worked with the choir to take it seriously. Joey's worked with the instrumentalists to take it seriously. I have studied my sermon to take it seriously. I am convinced that our Sunday school teachers have studied and done their work to take it seriously. So we need everyone to take it seriously. Because when we don't, we are sending a nonverbal but powerful message that it's optional. And it's not. Do we not serve the greatest God of the universe? Do we not serve the greatest Savior of the universe? Has He not given us the greatest love possible? And should we not take it seriously? I believe that God deserves nothing less than our best. Our very best. And I think sometimes people give God less than their best. They get to the ball game early. They get to work. I know people get to work an hour early just because they want to be there so everything's ready. They don't want to be rushed. Folks drive down that work in Atlanta. They get up at 4 in the morning to go down there so they don't have any traffic. Work out, do other things so they're ready. Come to church. There's less traffic on any day of the week, unfortunately. And we're late. I need your help. Next week, we're going to continue this lesson. We're going to keep talking about Sunday school. And I need everybody in here's help. On November 17th, we need your attendance. We are hosting our association in a Sunday school mentoring thing that we're participating in. And we need everyone in this room to be here. We're going to eat. You're going to have a lesson about how important Sunday school is and some other things that I don't know anything about. You'll be hearing about from another Smith, no relation. The man teaching it is Dr. Tim Smith from the Georgia Baptist Convention. And we need your help. We need your attendance. We need everyone to be here so that we can hopefully do a great thing in Sunday school. Because I really believe we don't have a money problem. I know our budget's bad. We don't have a money problem. We have a people problem. We need to be doing what God's called us to do. God will grow His church. We don't have to worry about the offerings. We just need to be obedient to our Father. He'll take care of everything else. And it starts in Sunday school. Father, we come and we ask right now that You'll help each one of us, Lord, to do Your will, to be Your ambassador, to hear and to receive what You've given us. And help each one of us, Father, to truly commit to being in and a part of our Sunday school, not because we wish to be guilty of doing what You've asked us not to do, but because we want to be a part, not of legalism, but of effective evangelism. Help us, Father, to do all that You've called us to do so that we might be Your people. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand on your feet, we're going to sing, and You come as a Spirit.
Just as I am without.
Please be seated. Madge, would you come up here? Get where everybody can see you. Can y'all see that? You were unable to be at the lay renewal. Mm-hmm. And I talked really bad about you because you had a poor excuse.
I'm trying to call you.
The man who did the teaching His name was Donald Taft. And he was teaching us about spiritual gifts. And he was talking about how we all have a gift and that it can be used in a way in ministry. And he used as an example in his church a lady, and I don't know, you'll know, I don't know if that's knitted or crocheted, but it's done something with yarn. And she didn't know how she could do anything. So they started a prayer shawl ministry. And anytime they heard of someone who was sick, had cancer, anything like that, they would make these shawls. They would, on a certain Sunday of the year, put them in the altar of their church, have prayer over them. Okay? And that's what that card tells you about. And then they would send them to the people. And so I asked him to give you one. So I want to give it to you. Okay? And I know it's late, but it took him that long to get it here. I guess they started needing it when I asked. I don't know. Is it knitted?
Yeah, it's crocheted.
Well, it's gorgeous.
And it's beautiful.
And it's soft. I took it out and felt of it.
There it is. What a ministry.
It is a ministry. It is a ministry. Now, I want you to have that, but I want to explain it to the other service too. So I'm going to be an Indian giver. You play with it a little while and then give it back to you before you leave. And I'll bring it to you, okay? But I wanted everybody to see that. Thank you so much. Take it and show it to them. And then I've got this box that Sue has made. Operation Christmas Child. I don't know if you've noticed the signs is happening. And November 15th,